Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
Feels like a beautiful day in November, doesn't it?
It's fall again.
At least on Friday morning.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you and with all of our listeners. And we have a lot coming up in the show today. And answering the call, we'll talk with a developer behind the Rediscover app. The Vatican caught wind of his work for us here locally and tapped him for the app Pope Francis launched a few weeks ago.
Then we say it at every Mass, but we may not be focusing on the words we're saying. We'll take a closer look at the Creed and its meaning.
And in no ordinary conversation, Archbishop Nienstedt discusses the Rediscover Summer Share Project and talks about the importance of all Catholics sharing the faith with others in our lives.
Plus, we share the faith in our own ways with our own God-given talents. Find out about two men with local roots who give the reason for their hope through hip-hop. Just one of the topics Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, will talk about today. Hello, Joe.
Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
What's new with you today?
Well, boy, I'm just still looking forward to having some warmer, sunnier weather come our way.
Keep waiting.
It's the topic on everyone's mind,
That's
I'm
right.
sure.
It'll be here eventually.
Well, tell me about this hip-hop stuff that you've got today.
Yeah, I had the opportunity recently to interview Max Haben and Abe Gross, two musicians who are doing the work of the new evangelization in a creative way through their hip-hop music ministry. And, you know, for those unfamiliar with it, hip-hop is similar to rap. There's a distinct rhythm to the music and poetry in the lyrics, and these guys take that style. And, you know, they say some important things about life and hope in order to draw people closer to Christ in the process. So Max, who does the singing, is 26 and a native of the Twin Cities, and he has a degree in Catholic Studies from the University of St. Thomas. And Abe, who's 24, also grew up in the Twin Cities and attended the University of Minnesota, and both of them became involved with St. Paul's Outreach, the Catholic ministry on college campuses that, you know, began right here in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Now they both work with SPO at Arizona State University.
Mm.
Now, Max told me he really got into hip-hop music during his first year at college and began writing his own raps and his own songs and started recording himself, and it kind of became a way to share his testimony about his faith. And Abe's background is that he started taking classical guitar lessons while he was still in elementary school, and he was interested in singing and songwriting in his own right. And then one day, when they were still in Minnesota, these two guys were talking about their music, and a couple of months later, they started collaborating on music that was focused on God and on beauty and the truths of the faith. And the two of them really see this hip-hop style as an integral part of the new evangelization, one that particularly has the ability to reach and touch young people.
The younger, yeah.
Yeah, so I talked to Max a little bit about that, and here's a short clip from the interview.
I think in the new context of the, you know, the new evangelization, new cultural context, hip-hop is something that I think is somewhat foreign to the Church, to be honest. And that's, you know, I think the Church does a great job in being present in the culture and, you know, creating culture. But hip-hop itself has become kind of the new rock and roll, I mean, especially for young people. I mean, it's hip-hop music. And it's gone across cultural and, you know, environmental or social boundaries. It's everywhere. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you're from. Hip-hop music is there. And it's such a powerful way to communicate because it's more lyrical, there's more words, it's a little more aggressive. I think there's an opportunity for myself and for other young people who are more familiar with this genre of music to have some sort of influence in the culture with it, because it is kind of a new sort of phenomenon that I think the Church is still kind of like, it's foreign, you know, and it's hard to understand. And so I think that's where we can really use this, and just as a unique sort of part of the new evangelization.
one of the bios about Max that I found online characterizes his music as sounding like rapper Jay-Z and C.S. Lewis sharing a cup of coffee.
Wow.
That's a combination.
That's
intense. And he lists influences that include rock and roll icon Tom Petty, as well as author J.R. Tolkien and Gerard Manley Hopkins, the Jesuit priest and poet. So it's pretty eclectic influences.
I would say.
Well, I can't wait to hear some of it.
Yeah, you know, and folks probably wondering by now, what does this music sound like exactly? So we have a short clip here from their Change Me Now EP called King of the Castle. Let's take a listen to that.
As I wake up and I stumble to my feet, humble, realizing that this wasn't just a dream, vivid. I can see it clearly how you set me free. Rewinding every situation, every single scene, every bit of joy, pain that I've been through, flashing through my memory, culminating into chains of events. I can see your fingerprints that were covered over moments, and it's no coincidence. As a child, they told me that I needed contradicting prophets that confidently teach it. Told me that it's true, but don't seem to believe it. Told me that it's oxygen, so why don't you breathe it? Fine, I can find it on my own, but where am I supposed to go if I can't find it in my home? I'm alone, and honestly don't really wanna know. Walk away from the king, put myself in the throne. Oh well, good as it gets, as far as I can tell. Why hello, why don't you tell me what you have to sell? Won't you please give me drink like the woman at the well? And these momentary pleasures keep me trapped inside a cell, and I cry, tears soaking, flowing like an open dam, introducing myself without knowing who I am. With the pigs.
I think Corey had the right word, intense.
I like it, though, yeah. You know? I mean, good for them.
Yeah,
good for them.
And, of course, you know, it goes on. The king of the castle, of course, is, you know, we think it's ourselves sometimes, and this is a story about how he discovers that God is really the king of the castle.
Amen. Well,
buy those on, are they on iTunes?
Yeah,
or?
Well, you can hear more of their music and download it if you go to noisetrade.com/Max Haben. And you can also learn more about these guys in the June 20th issue of The Catholic Spirit. We'll have a feature story about them talking more about their lives and ministry.
And you're busy with other things, too.
Yeah, a great event we have coming up in the Archdiocese soon is the annual Rural Life Sunday celebration on Sunday, June 23rd at the Don and Bonnie Quigley Farm in Lindstrom. And these Rural Life Sunday celebrations are always fun events. And to talk a little bit about their importance, we have a guest today on the line. Jim Ennis is the Executive Director of the National Catholic Rural Life Conference. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Jim, tell us why rural life celebrations like the one coming up here later this month are so important to have.
Well, you know, every Sunday we at the Mass say fruit of the earth and work of human hands, but many of us are disconnected from how our food is produced. And the Rural Life Sunday really does put a spotlight on rural communities and the importance of rural communities and the role they play in society by providing food for all of us. So it's an opportunity to celebrate what farmers are doing, what all those who are living in rural communities are doing, and that they're a part of the church, and to celebrate that and recognize that on a special day.
Right. And, you know, with all this kind of crazy weather going on, you know, how are family farmers in Minnesota doing and farmers around the country doing these days, given some of this weather and then just given some things related to the economy? How are things going?
Well, I mean, I don't know if your listeners know, but we have almost 80,000 farms in Minnesota. So there are a lot of family farms out there. Many have struggled because of drought conditions from last summer. And now difficulty in getting out into the fields because of the constant rains that we've had. I mean, the rains have been a blessing, but it's also made it difficult for many farmers to get out and get their planting done, or if they've had their planting done, that some maybe too much water has caused them to have to replant. So, you know, every growing season is a challenge for farmers. And that's why, you know, again, we want to support them and affirm their vocation.
Right. Hey, just tell us briefly here a little bit about the work of the National Catholic Rural Life Conference and how people can stay connected to what you do.
Well, our organization has been around for 89 years, and we apply the teachings of Christ and the church for the betterment of rural America. So we're out there to support rural communities and provide programming around food and agriculture concerns, stewardship of creation as it relates to rural communities, and the protection of soil and water resources and our natural resources, and also rural ministry and outreach. The average pastor in rural communities is covering three or four parishes here in Minnesota. So we try to provide programming support to help develop rural leadership in rural communities. We have a website at ncrlc.com mm-hmm. that provides all the information around those three program areas of food, stewardship of creation, and rural ministry.
And you have a great newsletter people can sign up for as well.
That's right. It's a weekly newsletter to let people know some of the concerns around policy and advocacy concerns around, like, the Farm Bill, for instance, that's being debated in Congress.
All right. Well, thanks, Jim. Folks can read more about Rural Life Sunday and the Quigleys in this week's Catholic Spirit. And lastly, I just wanted to mention in this week's Rediscover section in the Spirit, the focus is on the Creed.
The Creed.
And there's a great feature story in there about a senior at Convent of the Visitation High School whose road to recently joining the Catholic Church included a public recitation of the Creed in front of her classmates.
Right, and a bunch of classmates,
yeah,
I read.
Exactly, yeah. And
they
so a great story there.
Witnessed that.
And you can read more about that and her story in the Rediscover section this week, which also features a great column about the Creed by Jeff Cavins, who will be on the show a little later here today.
He's sitting right here. He'll be joining us in just a little bit.
Excellent.
Well, thanks, Joe. Good to talk with you again.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
And a reminder, you can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour. And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Coming up, Archbishop Neinstedt discusses the Rediscover Summer Share Project and every Catholic's call to share the faith in today's No Ordinary Conversation.
Plus, in answering the call, we'll talk with the developer of the Rediscover app, who was also tapped to create an app for the Pope. All this and a whole lot more ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
Month after month, week after week, your furnace and central air conditioner work hard to keep you and your family comfortable day after day. The newer systems are working more efficiently, but they still deserve a checkup at least once a year. When was your last air conditioner tune-up? If your system hasn't been recharged or needs to be updated to a more efficient unit, you could be paying up to twice as much as you need to for energy every month.
I'm Justin from Allen Mechanical. The homes I visit every day are saving money and energy with tune-ups and new, more efficient heating and cooling systems. You maybe have heard that the new heating and cooling systems pay for themselves. It's true now more than ever with energy costs rising. Call me and update or tune up your system and be ready for the summer's heat.
L&L Mechanical, helping Relevant Radio listeners save money and energy from their hard-working furnace and air conditioner. Fast, reliable, and really good at what they do for your home's comfort. Call L&L Mechanical, 651-331-6135. 651-331-6135 or relevantradio.com, keyword cool.
You shatter my darkness, wash away my blindness. Now I'm breathing in and breathing out, I'm alive again.
The Creed is the theme of the Rediscover Pullout section of the Catholic Spirit newspaper that came out this week, and we heard Joe talk a little bit about it earlier in the show.
All of us occasionally slip into autopilot when we recite the Creed at Mass. But the Nicene Creed isn't just a checklist to run through. It's God's salvation story in miniature, not something you want to gloss over.
In fact, the first of four pillars of the Catechism is dedicated to the Creed, and the first of four modules in the two-year Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute program is focused on the Creed. For more on the Creed and a 10-minute primer on its history and meaning, we're joined today in studio with Jeff Cavins, nationally known speaker and best-selling author and director of the Catechetical Institute. Hey, Jeff, good to see you here.
Good to be with you once again.
Well, tell us, just start out, I mean, this is a very long topic, I'm sure we could go on for a while about it, but a little bit about the history of the Creed.
Well, when it comes to the Creed, we're not the first to come up with a creed. The Jews have had a creed. In the Old Testament, the creed was better known as the Shema in Deuteronomy 6,
okay,
where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And their faith was really, could be reduced to that, statement. And that statement would be heard on the lips of Jews throughout all of history. And it brought them back to the core of who they were. And as Christians, in 325 in the Council of Nicaea, the creed was formed, and the original adoption of the creed, and the creed was used by the early church really as a rule or as a standard of Christian belief. And it acted as a summary of our incredible story that we have been introduced to. If you look at the catechism is divided into four pillars. And the first is the creed, and that is God's amazing story from creation all the way to the end. And that is the story. And then the second pillar is sacraments and liturgy, and that's how you get into the story. And then the third pillar is life in Christ. That's what you live in the story. That's your personal script, if you will. And then prayer is the fourth. So the creed for us is very, very, very important. In fact, in Mass, we recite it every week.
Right.
But as Paul alluded to earlier, you can get into a rut where you just simply repeat it, and it starts to lose its punch, its power, when we don't realize what the creed, when we recite it, what we're really doing. And the problem that people get into is that they can get into this rut of, it's just a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still believe all these things, you know, from the beginning all the way to the end.
Right.
And 3 months later, yeah, I'm still on board.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, check. 5 years later, I'm here, you know. And they don't think about it anymore after that. But if people will, particularly those who are coming into the church and those who have had their faith, in a sense, rediscovered.
Right.
This can become very, very powerful every week as a way of reaffirming, I'm in. I'm totally in with Jesus, and I've dedicated my life to this, and I'm entrusting myself to God.
And it can take on new meaning each week if you apply it to your life.
It can. It can, absolutely. You know, when it comes to the creed, the key word is believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's believe. I believe. And when we say I believe, Pope Benedict Emeritus the 16th, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he would talk about this word believe and how it came from the Hebrew amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that the word amen has two different phases or two different ideas that we need to attach to that. One is an intellectual assent, that we are saying when we repeat the creed, when we go through the Nicene Creed and we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and we go all the way to the end, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. On one hand, we are saying, I affirm intellectually, I make this assent, and I agree with all that the church teaches and all that Jesus has revealed. But the second aspect of I believe, when we say the creed, and perhaps the most important here in terms of a transformation in your life, is this idea of entrusting yourself to something else, and in this case, to someone else. And that's the key. So when you say in church, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, you are saying, I'm entrusting myself this week to all that I'm about to say. And that means that my life is going to be different. It's not a checklist of, you know, I'm on board theologically, but it means I'm in this boat with Jesus.
I'll stake my life on it.
I'll stake my life on it. That's exactly right.
And you talk about the similarities to entrusting your life as far as in your spouse and marriage.
Right. Yeah. I'm married to Emily. We just celebrated 3 days ago our 35th anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And I believe her. I believe in her. I believe she's my wife.
Right.
Well, that's good.
And I make mental assent that she is Emily Cavins. And that's good. But there's the second aspect to that, and that's the entrusting of myself to her. If I say to her, honey, I trust you, that means that I'm giving myself over to her and entrusting my life to her. Now, that's something that we would be expected of our relationship with God, that we're going to entrust ourselves to him. There's a great analogy, if I can share this with you, a great, great analogy that might really drive this point home. There's the story of this man at Niagara Falls, and he's a tightrope walker. And he has this tightrope across the falls, and people are gathered on both sides, Canadian and American, and they're cheering him on. And he walks across, and he's successful. And the crowd goes crazy. And then he yells back to the crowd, do you think I can do it again? And they yell, yes. And they start clapping and clapping. And he says, do you think I can do it again blindfolded? And of course, they're all excited. Yes, absolutely. Clap, clap. And he says, do you think I can do it blindfolded with a wheelbarrow. Yes, they're screaming, do it, do it. And the crowd begins to grow. And he says, do you think I can do it blindfolded with a wheelbarrow with a human being in the wheelbarrow? And they're screaming, yes. And he yells out, I need a volunteer. Well, at that point, we found out.
Was it silent?
Exactly. Nobody believed. Yeah. Nobody believed at that point. Intellectually, they said, yeah, I think you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But in trusting themselves.
Did they want to be in the wheelbarrow?
They would not get in the wheelbarrow.
Didn't want to stake their lives on
and
it.
And you know what happens in Mass on Sunday? When we say, I believe, we're getting in the wheelbarrow.
Flesh out for me, if you would, the change from the first person plural to the first person singular that we went through with the changes in the Mass from we believe to I believe.
And who decides that, and how long does it take for big changes like that? I mean, that just kind of baffles me that we can just change it like that.
Sure. Well, that's a whole
other topic.
Well, no, it is a big topic, but it's a whole protocol with our bishops in the United States working with Rome, and it's a long process that they go through. And the changes in the Mass were really designed to get back to the Latin and to worship along with the rest in the church. But I think when we say I believe, what the church is telling us now is that we really need to focus on personal accountability. That mm-hmm. yes, we believe, and there is a lot of we in the Mass, but when it comes to this creed, I believe. I have a personal accountability to get in that wheelbarrow and to entrust myself to God. And as I do that individually and you do that individually, then we stand as a we do believe as a community. But I think it makes it very, very personal. And I know that in my life, since we've made that change, I've taken notice. I've taken notice of that I'm not just throwing my hat into a collective ring, but mm-hmm. I'm standing up in front of everybody and saying, I believe. Now, this should change our lives on a daily basis. If we say, I believe, then we go from intellectual assent to a personal entrusting of ourselves in every area, in the area of our family, in the area of our finances, in the area of our time, our passions. All of this should reflect the fact that I am all in this wheelbarrow with Jesus, and that if I live that way, the world is going to take notice and say, you guys are different. You guys are really living a different life. What? Tell me about this hope that you have and this love and this intense zeal for God.
Kind of the opposite of safety in numbers, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you do stand alone in that statement, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, share a little bit about the Catechetical Institute and how the creed is used as a basis in that.
Well, you know, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. In the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, we are focused on a 2-year program to go through the entire catechism and to pursue Christ and everything that he has revealed to his church. And of course it starts off with the creed, and the creed is the largest part of the catechism.
That's
and it's
right.
The first part.
Yeah.
And it was Cardinal Ratzinger, before becoming Pope Benedict, that taught about this. And he said that even the way that the catechism is put together is a teaching tool itself. And notice how the creed comes first. That's the story. And I'm going to take just a moment to explain that. St. Augustine said that the creed was the story in miniature. It is salvation history in miniature. It's like taking the Bible and this magnificent big book, and here's a big term, squishing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's squishing the story down into this
small
statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Bible, the creed is unpacked with all of God's words and deeds. And what we do in the Catechetical Institute is we start off our 2-year journey by spending an entire quarter on just that creed, and we go through basically salvation history, and we look at God's amazing story. And that's something that's so encouraging for people today. And those who have gone through the rediscovering Christ process, is God has a plan for your life. And it's in And so does the world. I mean, Oprah and everybody else has a plan too.
Yeah.
But God has a plan for your life.
Which one are you trusting?
And exactly, which one are you going to entrust your life to?
Now you have a new class coming up, and the deadline has been extended.
It has been extended. If people would like to know how to get into the Catechetical Institute, we're extending it into, I believe, the 24th.
That's because you have a larger space.
We have a larger space.
So how many are you going to expect in this class?
We're going to expect close to 200 people.
Oh, that's awesome.
In this class. It's going to be at Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids, and you can go to cistudent.com for information. That's cistudent.com.
What kind of commitment is required here?
It's a two-year commitment, and it's 11-week modules. They meet on Monday night.
Anybody can sign up.
Anybody
can apply.
Anybody. That's right.
Right.
We even had in our last class, we had a Catholic who was grew up Catholic, kind of left the church and became a Protestant minister, wanted to come back. She entered the class, and by the end of the class, had fully converted back to the to the Catholic Church.
Well, that's kind of a familiar story for you, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little reversion story there.
Yeah. Well, so you've got a deadline on June 24th. What about costs?
The cost is for the two-year program is $1,000.
Okay.
And it is very, very doable.
Sure.
And then there's also for every quarter, there's two Saturdays where we meet for formation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just on Saturday morning. And there's one two-page paper due for every module that's a reflection paper about what you're learning and how you're going to put it into practice.
Yeah, and speaking of practice, I've got to think these people go back into their parishes and make some real changes and are so valuable there.
We, you know, our alumni, they're our voice, and they do. They go back, and Father Sklizacek over at St. John the Baptist, he's got close to 50. He's going to have close to 50 students.
Oh, my.
And he said, you think my life would be easier? He said, no, it's busier. These people have ideas.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. Jeff, thanks for coming by and visiting with us about the Creed and the Catechetical Institute.
Exciting what's happening.
Definitely.
Here are the details on the class of St. Francis of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute starting this September. All modules of this two-year course will take place at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Classes are divided into four 12-week modules and meet on Monday evenings, 7 to 9 p.m., with two Saturday morning formative sessions per module. First module is the first pillar of the Catechism, the Creed.
And applications are being accepted now. The deadline has been extended to June 24th because they are meeting at Epiphany for the first time, which has a larger space for their class. For a link to the application form and more information about the Catechetical Institute, visit our show page at rediscover-faith.org. We've posted a link to the Catechetical Institute site or call the Catechetical Institute at 651-962-5028. That's 651-962-5028.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question.
Earlier this spring, we spoke with some of the 450 parish and school leaders attending a special gathering focused on hospitality. This is how they answered the question, what is one key thing that makes for a welcoming parish?
I'm Will from Guardian Angels in Oakdale. To be a welcoming parish, the most important thing to do is be intentional about it, observe some of the welcoming aspects that you already have in place, observe them and discuss them and highlight them and then make it intentional to take what you already have and expand upon it, because you can't ever be too welcoming.
My name is Kellen and I'm from the Cathedral of St. Paul in St. Paul. To be a welcoming parish, I think each individual parishioner should take the opportunity to spend time with the guests, spend time with each other, really to see Christ in one another, to acknowledge that presence, and to give the gift of self and the gift of time.
I'm Beth from St. Richard's in Richfield, Minnesota. I think one of the most important things that they can do is at the beginning of each Mass to welcome guests and visitors, and for parishioners to just take a look around and greet new people. I think that is one of the most, one of the best expressions of hospitality that I've seen and appreciated when I've been a guest at a parish.
I'm Abby from Our Lady of Grace in Edina. I think the most important thing is to stay true to their Catholic roots, because the church has a long history of hospitality, and what we need to do to be welcoming is built into that tradition. And so I think if we stay true to that, we'll get where we need to be.
Do you have an idea for a question to ask fellow local Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour? If so, we want to hear it.
There are lots of ways to reach us. Email us at the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org or go and click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org. Reach us through our show page or contact us through the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com, keyword Rediscover.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, in no ordinary conversation, Archbishop Nienstedt discusses every Catholic's call to share the faith and suggests one tool to do just that.
Plus, in today's Answering the Call, we talk with the developer of the Rediscover app about working with the Vatican on another app and harnessing technology for the new evangelization. All ahead on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
During the season, most golfers try to find a course that's fun to play, easy to get to, and lets you make tee times weeks in advance. Deer Run Golf Club in Victoria is just such a place and would like to invite Relevant Radio listeners to enjoy their course this season. Deer Run Golf Club has been named one of the top 20 public golf courses in Minnesota and is filled with just the right amount of challenge and charm for golfers at every level. Great course conditions mean you'll play your best at Deer Run. They can host group events, and it's the perfect destination for a round with old friends or meeting new ones. People often say it's more fun at Deer Run. The staff at Deer Run Golf Club goes out of their way to make you feel welcome, and ProLink GPS systems on every cart make you feel right at home, even on your first round. Buy prepaid rounds and save up to 30%. For tee times, visit deerrungolf.com or call 952-443-2351. Deer Run Golf Club, just south of Lake Minnetonka, off Highway 5 in Victoria.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, I'm reading online all about last Sunday and the Pope's first ever worldwide Holy Hour of Eucharistic Adoration. I guess millions around the world took part in this.
Historic and never done before. I suspect we'll see this happen again before too long.
Right. Well, it's another example of Pope Francis, you know, kind of doing something new and inspiring and bringing people towards the faith.
I heard one priest say and point out that Pope Francis is becoming known for promoting what are called popular devotions,
mm-hmm.
the rosary, Eucharistic adoration, benediction, bringing back some of the simple ways that we can worship.
Wonderful.
Fantastic stuff. Well, we'll look forward to more from Pope Francis in the future.
Well, speaking of the Pope is apparently paying very close attention to our new evangelization efforts here in Minnesota.
Today in Answering the Call, we're talking with a developer behind the Rediscover app. The Vatican caught wind of his work for us and tapped him for the app Pope Francis launched a few weeks ago. Ryan Krieger joins us now with details on his work and why he and his company do what they do. Hello, Ryan.
Paul, great to be with you.
Tell me a little bit about Pope Francis coming after you to create a new app.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, we originally were contacted by a group that works directly for Pope Francis, the Pontifical Mission Society.
Okay.
And they're just a phenomenal group. They do all sorts of great work all over the world in schools, in orphanages, in hospitals. And they were looking to build something that would really bolster the new evangelization both in the developed world and in developing nations. So they came to us and said, hey, we'd really like to get more of the news out about the great things that Pope Francis is doing and just the great things that the Church is doing all around the world. So we partnered with them, and through their vision and our hard work, we were able to put together the Missio app for the Pope.
Now, as an app developer, you have a very interesting background. You are not only a coder, you're also a psychologist.
That's right.
I bet those two just go hand in hand, right?
More than you would imagine.
Really?
Yes. We definitely have a lot of situations where as we're building apps, you really have to think about how are people going to use this.
That's true, yeah.
If you want to build something that people are going to love and enjoy and it's going to be beautiful and useful, you really have to think about that.
Well, how did Little Apps or Little iApps come to be? Can you tell us about the name and just a little bit about the company itself?
Sure. We got started about 3 years ago, and it's actually just three of us main partners here.
Okay.
And it started on a lark. We were meeting literally in coffee shops and, you know, in each other's garages and talking about wanting to build an app. And all three of us we're devout, we're into our faith, it's really important to us. And we said, hey, there's really nothing out there for Catholics. There just wasn't at the time. So we started praying about it and thinking about it and said, you know, let's do something practical. Let's build an app for confession. And so that was the first app that we did.
Oh, that was you guys.
Yeah, that was us.
That made the news in a big way.
It really surprised us. We were expecting when we launched it that, you know, maybe a youth group or two would pick it up and people might hear about it. And then it really took on a life of its own.
And what's it called?
Phenomenal. It's called Confession, a Roman Catholic app.
Perfect.
Now, just to clarify real briefly, this is not confession over the phone.
Absolutely not.
It's not a Skype version, FaceTime.
Yes.
Okay, and you guys are you in South Bend?
That's right. We're in South
Bend,
Indiana.
That's right. Okay. Did you go to Notre Dame?
I did for my master's, yeah. So I did my graduate work there. Although the three partners here, we did our undergrad at Franciscan University of Steubenville. So we're really Steuby grads at heart.
Okay. Well, and then, so you did our Rediscover app. Can you tell us about that and how that happened as well?
Yes, I was contacted through the Office of Communications and have some great contacts there. And they talked to me and said, hey, we see the work that you've done with the Confession app. We see some of the other things you're putting together. We would really like to take it to the next level and build something amazing for the new evangelization. And it's just been an honor working with everyone at the Archdiocese. The scope, the vision,
mm-hmm.
and just the willingness to say, you know, someone's got to step up and build something great, not just for the local church, but for the global church.
Right.
Talk a little bit about how your personal faith works with the work that you do in creating apps. It has to be a real help to have a great devotion to the Lord and the church when you're creating an app for the church.
It's really, I guess the best way I could put it is, we have a couple of friends who create icons, religious icons, and they explained to me that when you're creating a religious icon, you don't draw it, you write it or pray it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same approach that we take when we build apps, is that we're not just building something for the sake of building it, but we're praying through our work.
What do you think is unique about our Rediscover app?
There are two things really that stand out to me as just amazing. The first is the amount of content. There are lots of websites out there that have good content, but nobody's really put together this amount of information, this amount of video. I mean, amazing videos by Father Robert Barron of Word on Fire, by Matthew Kelly of Dynamic Catholic. Just some amazing content all in one place and mobile. And the other feature that we're really proud of and I think is amazing is the ability to find Mass, confession, and adoration anywhere in the Archdiocese right from your phone.
Right. Everyone seems to love that feature, and it's gotten so much better. You can put in anywhere you are and figure out a time for confession, a time for adoration, a Mass time, and it gives you information on the church itself. It's very cool. It links to a lot of different things, too, so it takes you other places for more information as well.
Talk a little bit about this new app, if you would, Missio, for the Pontifical Mission Society.
Sure. The Pontifical Mission Society really wanted something that would bring together a lot of the great news about what's happening all over the world, in the Catholic world especially. And there are some great news organizations, but no one had really aggregated all that into one place. The news, the video, having it all mobile so that you can get it right when you want it. So that was one component, was making a way to get all this great news about what's happening all over the Catholic world. The other component that was really important to Pontifical Mission Societies is that they work in a lot of developing nations. And in developing nations, computers are scarce, but smartphones are starting to become more common.
Really?
So if you want to provide this information, what better way than to build it in an app?
Right.
Talk about Little iApps, and where did the name come from?
We originally came up with the name as a sort of a double play on words, so the little I of iPhone and iPod and iPad, but it also is a play on our faith. So in order for him to increase, I must decrease, little I.
Oh, wow.
Amen.
Like that.
That's cool. So what's in the future for you?
Well, we're really looking to the horizon with a lot of great projects. One of the big things that we're working on now is finding ways to take a lot of the great technologies that we put into the Rediscover app and build it out to other dioceses, to other parts of the world, and take a lot of the great features and great systems that are already built and make them widely available.
And that's just three of you doing that? That's a lot.
For now.
Yeah. You guys are busy.
We're very busy, but we're very blessed.
I hear some laughs in the background.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Ryan Krieger, here's how you can download the Rediscover app. Just go to rediscoverapp.com. Download the version for your iPhone, iPad, or Android device.
And you can find that rediscoverapp.com link and any links we mention on the Rediscover Hour on rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, Archbishop Neinstedt discusses every Catholic's role in the new evangelization. Plus, we'll take a look at Catholic events happening around the area.
But first, we'll hear a bit more of the hip-hop music ministry of Max Haben and Abe Gross, local musicians Joe introduced to us earlier in the show. We'll be right back.
Don't try to change me now. I'll find a way somehow. I'm gonna be alright. Just let me sleep at night. Don't try to change me now. I'll find a way somehow. I'm gonna be alright. Just let me sleep at night.
This is Gary Becker of Becker Building and Remodeling, here to talk to you about kitchen remodeling. Have you been considering a new kitchen? Well, consider this. We're experts when it comes to kitchens. Our straightforward design and remodel process will take the guesswork and stress out of the project for you. Our pricing is very competitive, comprehensive, and guaranteed. And our typical kitchen remodel time is only 15 days. Our kitchen remodels include beautiful custom cabinets, granite countertops, center islands, and more. And of course, we'll remove those walls that are no longer needed. Please call me today at 612-363-0493 for a free consultation about your new kitchen. Or go to our website, choosebecker.com. In the meantime, keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Carrie Becker, owner of Becker Building and Remodeling, 612-363-0493. A Catholic-owned business you can trust.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. It took a while for warm weather to come our way this year. We're all out there enjoying it now, from graduation parties to neighborhood picnics, trips to the cabin to summer vacations. We're really out and about when it gets warm out.
When it does get warm out, we're hoping for warmer.
Yeah.
But in today's No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Neinstedt talks with the director of the Archdiocese Office of Communications, Sarah Mealy, about the opportunity this season presents for sharing the faith with someone seeking answers.
Archbishop, thanks so much for taking the time today. You know, late last summer, you gave the faithful a really beautiful pastoral letter on the new evangelization, and we were doing that as we were approaching the kickoff of the Year of Faith. Now, your letter really was a clarion call for the faithful to proactively share the faith. How important is this for ordinary Catholics to do as Christian disciples?
Well, I think it's one of the most important things that we can do. Our faith is not just something personal, relationship between me and Jesus. It has to be that. It has to be, as Pope Benedict has reminded us, an encounter with the person of the living Lord, you know. But if I'm really touched by that faith, then it's going to affect everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, you know, if I have this great experience of the Lord's presence, I'm going to want to go out and share it with others. So, you know, in that letter, I really call for people to practice a little personal testimony, you know, an elevator speech, you know, of 3 minutes, or maybe something a little longer, in 10 minutes, if you're getting together with your neighbors or over coffee or at lunch. How do you explain the faith? And I don't think we've done a good job of helping our Catholic people to do that.
Yeah, almost like we seem to just think it's private. And we can have a personal relationship with Christ, but sometimes we think it should be private as well. And that's not what Christ asks us to do at all. He asks us to reach out, doesn't he?
Exactly. And so that's the whole communal aspect of it. I've said before that, you know, the focus of the new evangelization is not just on the personal dimension, but it's on the communal dimension. Our parishes have to be sources of the new evangelization. Mm-hmm. And then really our culture should reflect the values that we hold. And so those really, I think, are the three foci that we have to remind people about and ask them to become re-energized in directing themselves to those.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen if we don't do it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, as summer's approaching, and boy, after a very long winter, we're really glad to see that. We've got, I think, all kinds of opportunities, as we do each summer, to share the faith with others, to put your, I think, call to all of us to put that into action. We should be doing it year-round, but, you know, summertime, we get out of the house. Our Rediscover team just launched something called the Rediscover Summer Share Project, and the objective here is just to take advantage of those opportunities, you know, picnics and reunions and grad parties and all kinds of travel up to the lake. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with that program.
Well, I think the staff has done a wonderful job of kind of thinking outside the box now. And they've come up with this idea of little business cards, which have the Rediscover app symbol on it. And it's very handy, very practical, and we're suggesting that people take these to graduation parties, weddings, backyard barbecues, take them on the plane with you, take them in your purse or in your wallet, and then when people start asking you about the faith, give them one of these cards and say, you know, just go to our website and see what we're planning, or you can download it for free, an app for your iPhone or your iPad, and you'll get all the latest news about what the Rediscover program is about.
Yeah, and one side you've got the website address, and on the other you can get people to the app. So maybe easy way then to connect people with the tools of Rediscover. So now, you know, if we think about the tools, you've got the little business card. I know there's also opportunities out on the website as well, but tell us a little bit about, you know, what you'd like our folks in local church to do with these tools that have been provided by the Rediscover team.
Well, with regard to the cards, we're saying, you know, take a dozen of them, and if you can, pass out two at any one of those events that you're involved in, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, the staff said if we just do two this summer and get somebody else involved in this, it'll be a great success.
Yeah, and I think we can all find, over the course of, you know, 3 months, two people to probably share that card with and just keep it handy. So now, there are other tools, though, that are for sharing the faith and the truth of the faith on the website and the map, mobile app, too, right? Is there ways that you can use that to take any of the articles there and share those?
Yeah, I really want to stress the importance of the website that we have. We've had over 50,000 people who have had hits on that, and nearly 5,000 people have downloaded the new app. So it's a very popular thing right now. There are more than 400 short articles, videos, and prayers on the website, and the app can easily be shared with others. With a push of a button, you can forward through email, a text message, social media. It's all there, and it's really high-tech, more high-tech than I would be able to use.
Right.
But the staff has done a great job of providing this for us.
Well, that's great. Well, we really appreciate your time today, Archbishop. Thanks so much. And are you planning to keep a couple of these cards yourself and hand those
out? I've already got them in my wallet and ready to give them out.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
So here are the basics on the Summer Share Project that Archbishop and Sarah were discussing. Look for the Rediscover Share cards at your parish. They'll be in the Rediscover kiosk or near the Rediscover tabletop display. And the cards are one of two main Summer Share tools to connect people with Rediscover resources this summer. The Rediscover Share card is the size of a standard business card, so it's easy to store in your wallet or purse. And on one side is the web address rediscover-faith.org, plus a QR code that a person can scan with a smartphone and go straight to the home site for Rediscover. And on the other side of the card is the web address and QR code to take people to rediscoverapp.com, where anyone can download the free Rediscover app for iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. So consider committing to give out just two of these cards to someone you know or meet before the end of the summer.
And if you're not familiar with QR codes, they're those little square things that have a bunch of little dots in them. And all you have to do is scan them with your phone. With your phone, camera, and it'll take you right where you're supposed to go.
So you don't even have to search or type anything.
Nope, it's easy. And the second Summer Share tool is also easy to share content on the Rediscover website and the Rediscover app. You can send a link to any article, video, or prayer on the website or app with the push of a button. Also easy to do. Now, if you want to send something via social media like Facebook, just click on the icon of your choice that corresponds to what you want to use to share, or just send a good old-fashioned email with a link to the article you want to share to a friend or family member. Just click on the Share button, then select Email from the drop-down menu. Just as easy to share on the Rediscover app. Just touch the button on the right top corner of the phone screen, and then follow the prompts.
Well, and I heard the Summer Share cards were asked for by a woman in California, so it just shows how far-reaching and far-wide our Rediscover efforts are, and this little card. I mean, it's going nationwide.
What a way to spread the good news.
Right.
It's just
easy.
Beautiful.
And it could be really a simple way to sort of start a conversation with someone that you're trying to bring back to the faith and kind of plant a seed that might grow into something bigger for them.
And that's evangelization.
That's what we're doing here, right?
Right.
We're trying to. And a reminder that you can hear Archbishop Nienstedt regularly here on the Rediscover Hour in our No Ordinary Conversation segment.
And if you have an idea for a No Ordinary Conversation topic, contact us through our show page, rediscover-faith.org. Remember to click on radio at the top navigation bar, or you can email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
Well, here's a look at some great events taking place locally. First, the Gather for Good event is coming up on Saturday, June 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come meet up with people from Catholic United Financial and volunteers from around the Twin Cities to help assemble care kits for those in our community that are in need due to homelessness or natural disaster. The care kits contain personal hygiene items and are then distributed locally. And of course, bring the whole family. You can all enjoy musical entertainment, face painting, an inflatable jumper. I know you're going to be all over that, Paul.
Oh, absolutely.
That has your name written all over it.
I was telling Jeff we have to get that.
And the face painting, too. Lunch and refreshments will be served. And again, the date is June 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Catholic United Financial Home Office at 3499 Lexington Avenue North in St. Paul. And they do ask that you help them prepare by registering for this event by June 10th to reserve your spot. Go to www.catholicunitedfinancial.org or call 1-888-346-7183.
Here's another great event, fun for the entire family. Come to the Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday Mass and Lunch, Sunday, June 23rd. Always a fun day because there are animals wandering around, and just the sounds and smells and sights of the farm, along with the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And that begins at 1:30 in the afternoon, celebrated by Bishop Lee Pache. A late lunch follows Mass and features pulled pork sandwiches and hot dogs. Activities and entertainment include a rodeo roping demonstration, popular in old-time music, and a petting zoo. Now, the location is the Don and Bonnie Quigley Farm in rural Lindstrom, 25051 Olinda Trail. That's 25051 Olinda Trail in Lindstrom. Bring your own lawn chairs or picnic blankets. Some seating will be provided. In case of rain, the day will go forward as planned. There are facilities for an indoor celebration available at the site.
We'll pray for good weather for that, though. And again, we can't repeat this enough. Here are the details on the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. Come and join fellow Catholics for a day of inspiration and celebration of our Catholic faith on Saturday, October 12th, 2013 at the St. Paul River Center. Doors open at 7 a.m. and the programming starts at 8:30. Registration is now open for the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration, featuring Archbishop Nienstedt, Matthew Kelly, Father Robert Barron, George Weigel, and many other fantastic speakers. And there will be special programming opportunities for children and youth from kindergarten through 10th grade, as well as Spanish language programming. Adult tickets are $15. Youth grades 7 to 10 are $7, and kids in kindergarten through 6th grade are $5 each. So everybody hurry up and go register before it sells out at rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org. And for more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar. And coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, in answering the call, we are called, all of us, to share the faith. We'll hear more about how easy it is to share the resources of Rediscover through the Summer Share Project.
And in no ordinary conversation, we'll listen in as Archbishop Nienstedt shares his vision for the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration event coming up on October 12th.
Plus, we all want to find and keep a permanent place for prayer in our life. We'll talk with Deacon Dan Gannon about growing in personal prayer.
Come back for all this and a whole lot more. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.